book of Ruth, chapter number 3, and we will pick up here where we have left off in our Sunday night sermons and give you tonight what the Lord has given to us. I desire your prayers that God would help us this afternoon. Ruth, chapter number 3, and if you're in chapter 3 and would like to stand as we read the Word of God, I'll invite you to do that at this time. We'll read verse 1 down through verse number 5. But of course, I'll invite you to keep your Bible open, and we'll return back to the Scriptures throughout the morning or throughout the afternoon. And if you want to, you can also grab you a spot, not only in Ruth chapter number 3, but you can grab a spot in the book of Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we may read a few verses there before we finish up this morning, also, or this afternoon. I'm still in the morning service, I guess. I didn't get to preach this morning, so I'm still in the morning service. But definitely keep your Bibles to Ruth chapter 3. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself thereof, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment on thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Lord, we love you this afternoon, and we're grateful for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach the Word of God once again tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would move in this hour. Lord, help us as we stand before this congregation of people. Lord, let us say something, God, that would be helpful and beneficial. Lord, you know our heart. We want to be a blessing. Lord, let us say something that would be able to accomplish that. We pray it in Christ's name. And amen. You can be seated. Over the past 2 weeks, we have been looking at the book of Ruth and considering the subject of choices. I believe that this book is filled with choices, as we will see once again tonight. Now, if the choice of chapter 1, and we covered chapter 1, loosely covered these chapters, if the choice of chapter 1 is the choice of faith, and the choice of chapter 2 is the choice of finances, and let me encourage you, if you missed either of those two messages, to go back and listen to them on the internet. But if chapter 1 is the choice of faith and chapter 2 is the choice of finances, then I believe that I could say that chapter 3 is the choice of family. Undoubtedly, the story of Ruth and Boaz is one of the greatest love stories that the world has ever known. Here we find a young outcast woman meeting a wealthy landowner. They fall in love at first sight. The story of Ruth and Boaz is so touchy and so mushy and so romantic. I'm surprised they've not made a Hallmark movie after the book of Ruth. They probably have at some point. Last Sunday night, we watched as Ruth made her way for the first time into the field of Boaz. She had no idea who Boaz was, nor did she know it was his field that she happened into. I believe that as she goes into this field, as I said, it was love at first sight. When Boaz sees her, and can I just pause for a moment and give you something the Holy Ghost just gave me, I've never seen before in the story of Ruth. Can I mention to you that it was Boaz that saw Ruth first? If you read chapter number 2, Boaz put his eyes on Ruth long before Ruth ever even realized who Boaz was. Can I pause for a moment and say, I'm glad that my kinsman redeemer had his eyes on me long before I ever had my eyes on him. Hey, before I ever saw him and before I was ever looking for him, he came looking for me. I like it, don't you? I'm glad Boaz saw Ruth before Ruth ever saw Boaz. Amen. He saw her and he fell in love with her and he decided that he would make her his. He told his reapers, he said, boys, y'all let her come up and glean real close to you. And don't get on to her for it. You let her get up real close so she can get some of the good stuff. And boys, I tell you what I want you to do. Every once in a while, I want you to take just a handful and just let it fall in her row. Just those handfuls of purpose so that she won't go anywhere else and glean. Make it, boys, where she just keeps coming back. Hey, I'm glad the goodness of God still draws men to repentance. Amen. Boy, I'm liking that tonight. Hey, he said, let some handfuls of purpose fall in her row so she just keeps coming back over and over again. He said, Ruth, now it's going to be hot out today. And when you get thirsty, you come drink water out of the bucket that my men are drinking water out of. And I tell you what I want you to do. When it gets lunchtime, I want you to come sit at my table. And in fact, I want you to sit real close to me so that I can reach you parched. I want to feed you myself today, Ruth. And for the next 6 weeks, we find Ruth going out day by day into the field of Boaz. Over this period of time, the couple undoubtedly falls in love. In this chapter, chapter number 3, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, will give Ruth some much-needed advice. She can tell what is going on between Ruth and Boaz. And sometimes other people can see what's going on better than we can. This chapter contains the great story of the kinsman redeemer. And we don't have time for that tonight, but if the Lord will allow us to in a couple weeks, we'll get there. One of the great stories. This is the couple, the couple will pledge their love and their affection for one another. As I mentioned, this is a great love story. But like we saw in chapter 1 and chapter 2, I believe that there are choices made that drive this chapter. In fact, I submit to you that if Ruth and Boaz do not individually make the choices that they make, the chapter will not end the way that it ends. I believe that if we can look at this chapter, we'll be able to see a certain principle that God wants us to see this afternoon. I believe that if we look at this chapter, we will see the illustration of what God wants from our families. I believe the choice of chapter 3 is the choice of family. Allow me to say to you tonight before I get started that God is intimately concerned with your family. God is concerned with your marriage. The relationship of a man and a woman is of the utmost importance in the mind of God. In fact, the relationship of man and woman entering into a holy union was the idea of God, not the idea of man. It was the Lord that looked down upon Adam and determined that it was not good for him to be alone. It was God the Father that performed the first wedding ceremony there in the Garden of Eden. Throughout the pages of the Bible, God gives us wonderful illustrations of godly couples that we should model our homes and our relationships after. Many times God speaks of marriage and tells us what he expects in the pages of his Bibles. In fact, God even goes as far as to take the union of a husband and a wife and use that as an illustration of the picture of Christ and his church. Tonight and next Sunday night, I want to preach out of chapter 3, and I want to preach on the topic of the choice of family. Tonight, I want to look at the scriptures from the point of view of Ruth. Next Sunday night, I'll consider the point of view of Boaz, but tonight, Ruth is our subject. And tonight I want us to consider this as our sermon topic, the choice of being a surrendered wife. The choice of being, don't y'all fall out on me because I said that. You stay with me now. Y'all shout, you women help me out. You men don't be too chicken to help me out, all right? I'm preaching tonight on the choice of a surrendered wife. Now, you may say, now, Pastor, don't you know that Ruth and Boaz were not married in chapter 3? Yes, I know that. But I believe that Ruth possessed every quality that I am going to mention to you tonight. And it was these qualities that she had that caused Boaz to fall in love with her and make her his wife. In fact, I think that it was these qualities that made Ruth one of the greatest women in the pages of your Bible. In fact, she had these qualities so strong in her life. She was such a great wife and such a great mother that it would be through her lineage that the greatest kings of Israel would ever be born. You ever heard of a man by the name of David? How about Solomon? That's her grandson or great-grandson. You ever heard of a man named Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? That was her great-great-great-great-grandson. I believe she possessed these qualities. I want you to notice this. Number one, I'll give you three thoughts tonight, and I'm going to eat some cake. Number one, I want you to notice her role. I want you to see her role. Look with me again, if you will, at verse number one. The Bible says, "And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself thereof, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he shall tell thee all thou shalt do." Seeing the way that Ruth and Boaz have been treating each other over the last 6 weeks, Naomi now begins to give Ruth some much-needed advice. I don't know, I like to picture myself in the pages of the Bible when I read through it, and I can almost picture Ruth, and she comes home day by day, and she's telling Naomi all about the conversations that her and Boaz had that day. "You'll never believe what he said to me today, Naomi. Hey, did I tell you what he said yesterday, Naomi?" And over she recalls the conversations that they had. I can picture Ruth saying something like this: "Boy, Naomi, he was so handsome today in that robe he had on. Blue's his best color, and he was wearing blue today. And it matched the blue in his eyes. Oh, he was so good looking today, Naomi. Boy, you wouldn't believe it as the sweat glistened off of him as he gleamed." Hey, I don't know what they talked about, but I can believe that Naomi realized there was something going on between Ruth and Boaz, and it was obvious to Naomi that Boaz was the one for her. And therefore, she gives instructions to Ruth about letting Boaz know that she was interested in him. Now, according to the law, and I don't have time for this, but according to the law of the kinsman redeemer, she had to make it known to him that she wanted him to claim her. And so Naomi tells her to go down to the threshing floor and there make known to Boaz what it is that her intentions are. In this day, the threshing floor was a piece of ground that was made of clay that was very tightly compacted, very dense. And around this circular piece of clay, they would place rocks. And the men would bring down their harvest. And there at the threshing floor, they would tie a cart up to an ox. And they would allow the ox to walk in circles around that wheat and tread it underfoot. And with the ox, the weight of the ox and the weight of the cart, they would break that grain down into small, fine pieces. And then in the evening, afternoon, Brother Eddie, those men would take that wheat and they would throw it up into the afternoon breeze. and the afternoon breeze would catch a hold of the chaff, and it would blow the chaff away, and the wheat would fall back down to the ground. And they would do that in the evenings until the wind stopped blowing. And when the wind stopped blowing, they would have a feast and a celebration. And then all the men would gather around the threshing floor in a circle, and they would sleep there that night to make sure that robbers did not come and get their wheat from that day. Now we know that harvest season is coming to a close. And undoubtedly Boaz will be down at the threshing floor. And so Naomi says, Ruth, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go take a shower, clean yourself up, put on that best dress that you got, honey. You know, the good one that you kept in the back of the closet. You've not worn since Chilion was alive. I want you to put that one on, your best dress. And I want you to go down there tonight. And when the celebration is over, I want you to go find where Boaz is laying and uncover his feet. Take the blanket off of his feet and lay at his feet. They would lay feet to feet. There was nothing inappropriate about what Ruth was doing. Go lay at his feet, and when he realizes that you are there, then I want you to tell him everything that is in your heart. Now, Naomi is telling Ruth to do all of this, and now Ruth has to make a choice about what she's going to do with the advice of Naomi. I thought about Ruth in chapter number 3 and her role and the choice that she had to make. When Naomi gives this advice to Ruth, she could have said something like this. If he wants to be with me, then he needs to come to me. I'm not going to him. She could have said something like this. Why should I have to go all the way down to the threshing floor? I've already been there once today. She could have said, who do you think I am that I'm going to lay at a man's foot? Instead, Ruth chose to do something that many women are not willing to do today, and that is that Ruth was willing to choose the role of submission. Now, there'll be some that won't like what I'm about to say, but it's the Word of God. And according to the Word of God, the role of a woman inside of the home has always been the role of submission. I want you to look, if you put your finger in Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to read a couple verses with me. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. The role of the wife in the marriage relationship is without a doubt the most controversial and the most misunderstood. There are some that will tell you that it is the role of the wife to stay home barefoot and pregnant, and that she should jump every time her husband snaps his fingers. There are others that will tell you that there is absolutely no difference between a woman and a man. And they blur the line between a woman and a man and that relationship in the home and say that the woman is not to be in submission to a man now or ever, because she is liberated. What we'll discover is that both of those ideas are wrong. The reality is, it doesn't matter what I say, and it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what society says about the role of women in the home. It matters what the Word of God says. In these verses, the Bible tells us that the wife is to submit herself to her own husband as the church submits itself unto the Lord. In fact, you might want to write these verses down, these chapters down. I don't have time for all this tonight. But every time you read in the Bible about the role the woman plays in the relationship of the home, the instructions are the same. Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, Titus chapter 2. All of those chapters state that a woman is to be in submission to her own husband as unto the Lord. If this instruction is given over and over again, then I think that it would do us well to understand what it means to be in submission. The word submit in our verses comes from the Greek word hupotosis. Hupotosis. And that word hupotosis means to yield voluntarily in love, is what it means. To yield voluntarily in love. There are two ideas that this word carries with it, and I'll show you what those are in just a minute. But let me show you, first of all, what this word does not mean. I think sometimes we can understand better what something means if we understand what it does not mean, okay? Let me tell you what it does not mean. According to Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 28, it does not mean that women are inferior to men. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3:28 that men and women are all on equal footing with Jesus Christ. And the wife is just as precious and just as important in the eyes of God as you are, sir. It does not mean that she is inferior in any way to the husband. In fact, she is in all ways equal to her husband, but yet she is to hupotosis, she is to submit, she is to yield voluntarily in love to her husband because God has called her to do so. Think about it with me this way. You believe in the Trinity, right? God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Now, if you believe the doctrine of the Trinity, you believe the three, they're one, but you also believe this. You believe they are equal. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, they're all equal. The Bible said in Hebrews, talking of Christ, it said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You believe that, don't you? But yet Jesus willingly submitted himself while he was here on earth to the will of his Father. He was equal with the Father. Yet Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 9 says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Because Christ was willing to submit himself to God the Father, God gave him a great name and God gave him a great glory. Can I say, ma'am, if you want your home to be exalted in the eyes of God, then you are going to have to willingly submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. It doesn't mean that she's inferior. It doesn't mean that she's less valuable. In fact, writing of that virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:10, Solomon said, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, it doesn't mean that she's less valuable. In fact, sir, you ought to testify to this tonight and say, amen, your wife is the most precious gift that God has given you outside of salvation. To submit does not mean that she is to obey. God teaches us to rule over our homes with love, not to be lords over God's heritage. But she is to yield. She is to yield voluntarily in love. I see her role. I want you to see not only her role, but I want you to see her respect. Look at verse number 13. Ruth now has made her way down to the threshing floor. She has found Boaz. She has been lying at his feet for some time, and Boaz realizes that she's there. He wakes up startled and surprised and says, who is it? She says, it's me, your handmaid Ruth. and I want you to be my kinsman redeemer. And he responds in verse 13 by saying, tarry this not, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform it unto thee, the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. I see in the early part of the chapter that Ruth follows the advice of Naomi and goes down to the threshing floor. Now I see that she one more time follows the instructions given to her. She tells Boaz that she wants to be him to be her kinsman redeemer. And just as she submitted to Naomi, now she submits to Boaz when he tells her to lay there all night long until the morning. You know what she did? She laid at his feet until the morning. While it's true that God does not make women inferior to man, that does not negate the fact that everything that God does, God has an order to. God had a natural order in creation. God has a natural order in the church. God has a natural order in your home. I think the Apostle Paul had Genesis 2 in mind when he wrote about marriage in Ephesians chapter 5. In fact, he quotes from the chapter in verse number 31. In that chapter, we see God in His wisdom create man first. I don't know how long Adam was in the Garden of Eden before Eve came along. I don't know, Brother Eddie. The Bible doesn't tell me that. I would imagine that he was there until he realized that he needed somebody else to be there with him. However long it took for God to bring Eve onto the scene, we don't know. But the fact remains that man was created first, therefore setting the natural order of things. Adam was not created for Eve, but Eve was created to be the helpmeet of Adam. It is the duty of the wife to respect her husband as the leader of their home. When a woman takes it upon herself to run the household, she is then placing herself and her home in danger because she is moving her home outside of the will of God. Ma'am, when you decide that you will rule the roost, you are placing your home in jeopardy. You say, but Brother Josh, I'm smarter than my husband. That may be true, but you're still to respect him as the leader of your home. You say, but Brother Josh, I make more money than my husband. That may be true, but God still has a natural order in things. When a man and a woman marry each other, they are no longer two, but they are one. When God created Eve, He took her out of the side of Adam. I believe He took her out of the side of Adam because He intended for those two to walk side by side the rest of their lives. She was not to walk in front of Him. She was not to walk behind Him either. She is to walk right next to Him. That was her place right there. But at the same time, there can only be one head. Dr. Sammy Allen used to say, anything with more than one head is a freak. There's only one head in the church, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one head in your home, and it's the husband. And you are to respect him as the head of the home. I see her role. I see her respect. But I want you to see her response. Verse number 14. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came to the floor. You see, the word submit carries the idea of responding in love to someone else. We see that in the relationship of Christ and His church. Do we not respond to Him? The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. He loved us, and because He loved us, we in return respond to that love. Likewise, the wife is to respond to her husband. In fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24, what it is that she is to respond to her husband about. The Bible says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to her own husband in everything. You say, what am I to respect him about? What am I to submit about? What am I to respond about? Everything. Everything. You're to respond to your husband spiritually. The man is the priest of the home. Therefore, he should be respected as such. It is his decision which direction the home goes when it comes to spiritual matters. My wife and I, we've had to make some spiritual choices and just choices in general along the way. And when we make those choices and those spiritual choices, I always sit down and talk to her about it. I want to hear what she has to say. But in the end, it is ultimately my decision. And I will stand before God and give an account for the direction my home goes, spiritually speaking. The Bible makes it clear that I'll stand before God. Therefore, it is my duty to be a leader spiritually in my home. I believe the Bible is clear that God has placed the leadership, spiritually speaking, in the hands of the men. In a broad scale, in a broad sense, that applies to the church. The Bible teaches us that a woman is not to usurp the authority of a man in a church. It ought not be that way. And it comes down to even the smaller unit of the home. The man is to be the spiritual leader of that home. And can I pause for a moment and say something to my men real fast? Sir, as the spiritual leader of your home, you better live up to that responsibility. Shame on you if you're not the spiritual leader of your home. Shame on you if you don't pray about things. If you don't show godly character in your life so she can have somebody to follow. You ought to be a man. You ought to be a man of God. You ought to be a priest of God. You ought to do what's right in the eyes of God so she's got somebody to follow. Amen. But when your husband makes a spiritual decision, you're to follow him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:35, it says, and if they will learn anything, speaking of the women, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. You say, does that mean I'm not allowed to testify? I'm not allowed? No, that's not what it's talking about. But if you've got a husband and you've got a question about something that takes place in this church, you ask him at home first. Amen. You can shout or pout, neighbor. That's the word of God. Ask him at home. He's to be the spiritual leader of your home. You are to respond to him spiritually. You are to respond to him physically. Allow me to say, without stepping across any lines, that your husband is a physical being and he has physical needs. And God has placed you in his life to fulfill those physical needs. I'm glad y'all cooked fellowship before I preached tonight. I maybe would have had bread and water after this thing was over with. You say, I don't know if I like that. Well, I'm still in the Bible. And if I'm upsetting you, then you're the ones not right with God. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if you're offended, you can deal with God over that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, Verse number 2, it says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife to the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that he may give yourselves to fasting and pray, and come together again, lest Satan tempt you for your inconsistency." Hey, let me say before I'm done that a man is a physical being, and it is the responsibility of the wife to respond to him as such. Amen. Ruth was willing to submit herself. You say, "I don't know if I can do that." Jesus willingly submitted himself because that was the role that God had chosen for him. And God wants you, not because you're forced to, not because the preacher preached a message on it, but because you want the touch of God in your home more than anything else. You want God's blessings on your home. You want God's blessings on your children. You want God's blessings on your grandchildren. And you want to be right in the eyes of God. Therefore, you willingly submit yourself to your husband. And next week, we're going to talk about Boaz. And we're going to talk a lot about love next week. And when you love your wife, it's a lot easier for her to submit to you. But watch this, please. Every time, study it yourself, every time Paul deals with someone in subjection and someone in authority, he always deals with the one in subjection first. Always. He deals with the wife before he deals with the husband. He deals with the child before he deals with the parent. He deals with the servant before he deals with the master. Always the one in subjection first. You know what that means? That means, ma'am, you be in subjection to your husband no matter what he does, and you let God take care of the rest. Ruth made a choice. Ruth made the choice to go down there and lay at his feet. She made the choice to look at him and say, "I want you to be my kinsman redeemer." That was probably a hard thing to say. She made the choice when Boaz said, "Lay here all night and don't let anybody know you've come." She made the choice to obey that. And in the next chapter, it'll pay off. It'll pay off in great dividends. And ma'am, if you submit yourself in your home, it'll pay off in great dividends. I wonder, as Brother Scott comes, we get a verse of invitation. I don't know tonight if there's a need, if someone needs to come pray. Maybe there's a wife that needs to come pray, and maybe you want to say, "God, allow me to be a godly wife. Allow me to be a godly mother, a godly grandmother." Maybe there's a man that wants to come and pray and say, "God, help me to be the leader of my home. Help me to be the kind of man she can follow." Whatever the need is tonight, while they play and sing, I invite you to come.
Thank you, Brother Scott.